Everyone. So today we're going to be going through. Today we're going to be going through 6 through 11. We thought about maybe like going each doing 5 today because they're pretty challenging, but we're going for it. So,
woohoo!
Okay. So first question. Let's go. Hayim beisdin toinan hachzartiv o nensu b'shvil yisomim. So we had this idea of a beisdin being towing on behalf of the yisomim. So the question was, I wasn't recording for a second. So the question was, can Beis Din be towing on behalf of the Yisomim, Hechzartiv, that it was returned, or no, that there was Ones in this situation? V'das HaTosfos, V'aramban, and we'll explain what they're arguing about. So what does Tosfos say? Tosfos says, Beis Din is, we are towing from the Koach of the Father. You know the Father, you know, the Yisomim, but we're going to be towing from the Koach. The power is transferring, is flowing through the Koach of the Father. However, the Ramban says that's not what's happening over here. Rather, we have this idea that you're allowed to be towing, or according to the Ramban, you can be towing a tana de lo shchicha for Yisom. And therefore, Hechzartiv or Nensu might be a tana de lo shchicha, but we're allowed to be towing that kind of tana. Therefore, we're going to be towing Hechzartiv amigo de Nensu, right? That Hechzartiv with amigo that I could have, I didn't have to say Hechzartiv, I could have said that this is a case of ones, but it would have been, you know, clears everything away by saying, you know, it was ones, that it was out of my control. That would have been a much better claim, but instead we're allow you to be towing a tiny lo shchicha according to the Ramban. Because we had this idea developed in the Ramban, because if this isn't so, enough al yesod, enough al binyan, right? If the yesod is going to fall down, then the binyan will fall down as well. Therefore, the Ramban says that you're actually allowed to make a tiny lo shchicha for yesomim. So what's behind this machlokas? Why does Tosfos say that we're going to the koach la'av, whereas the Ramban is saying that we're being towing a tiny lo shchicha for yesomim? So what's going on over here? So Rechanan Wasserman said it really depends how you understand the idea of what how taninan works. How does it make sense that Beis Din can be towing on behalf of someone? How is that functioning? How is it working? So, Rabbi Chanan Wasserman said that the Yorish and Lokeach can't make a claim. So we open the mouth of the individual who can't talk. I mean, the Yorish, by case of the Yisomim, they don't really know like what happened, or by case of the Lokeach, which is also we also brought down. They don't really know what happened. So therefore, Beis Din is going to open the mouth for them. But how is Beis Din opening the mouth of the Yorish? How is that working? Either you say it's Yerushas Koach from the Mocher, or in this case, the father, that we draw the Koach from the other individual to this Yorish. I mean, the father could have made this claim. So what Beis Din is almost like a vehicle, just to transfer the koach to the Yisomim, right? It's Beis Din is just a vehicle that allows the koach, the father, to flow through to the Yisomim. Or we say that no, it's not that we're drawing koach, but rather Beis Din themselves take the place of the father. They become the father, and therefore they're being towing on behalf of the lokeach or of the yoresh. So therefore, in this situation, right? So is it that when Beis Din is being towing, is that they're really like it's like the yoresh is being towing, and Beis Din is just transferring the koach into the yoresh, and it's like the yoresh himself is being towing, or is that Beis Din takes the role, takes the place of the father, and then they're being towing right now? So that's the chakira. So how does that fit back into Tosfos and the Ramban? So the Tosfos must hold it to Yerushas Koach. The Taina is coming from the father for the Yisomim, and Beis Din is like the mouthpiece. They allow the Koach just to transfer to the Yoresh. The fact that Beis Din aren't towing a Taina lo shicha, that we don't care about. We know that Beis Din can't, according to Tosfos, Beis Din can't be towing a Taina lo shicha. So therefore, he felt the need to say that here it's working through this transfer through the Beis Din is working as a mouthpiece for the Yorish. Whereas the Ramban assumes that no, over here it's really a Taina's Beis Din, and therefore it's limited by what Beis Din wants to be towing. However, if you look at the father as the model, and we don't copy the Taina, but Beis Din can make their own Migo. They have the ability to do that. However, we know that they hold that Migo does work to be Taninan, because if we're using their rules, Basin's rules would be tani amigo de lo shicha, that you're allowed to be a towing amigo, that's not so common. Therefore, over here, if Basin is the one who is being towing in this situation, and they hold that you can do a be towing amigo de lo shicha, then over here as well, they would be allowed, even though the not necessarily be that the Yorish is making the claim himself, but they're acting as the father, and therefore Basin has the ability to think of Migo Delo Shchicha, and therefore they're allowed to be towing on behalf of this Yorish. So that was just the split of Tosfos and the Rambam. Moving on to question number 7. So Shis Ein Lecha Mecha Gedolam Shis Ein Lecha Mecha Gedolam Mizu. So for this, you really have to understand like what the Gemara was talking about. So the case was is that you have the Ma'ar heir, and you have the Machzik. So the Machzik claims that he has Sheni Chazaka, and the thing is very like outside. Like, probably missing some steps over here. But then the Ma'ar heir says that no, that I actually had, I have a Shtar Mechira from four years ago. So he said that if the Machzik then says that I had a Sheni Chazaka, but if that third year overlaps with that if he says that I had a Sheni Chazaka 6 years ago, right? Shis in Mechal Gedolah Mizu, that if I had Sheni Chazaka 6 years ago, then that third year, right? If it was 1, 2, 3, and then 1, 2, 3, that third year would overlap with the Shtar Mechira, the fourth year of the Shtar Mechira. Therefore, if he says 6, that would overlap with the Shtar Mechira, and that Shtar Mechira would knock out his Taina of 6 years. Therefore, the only way his Taina would work is if he said that I had it seven years ago, which surpasses the Shtar Mechira by 3 years. So that was just the Gemara. Okay, so but what we see over here is that you only need to have one mecha, right? Only one that seemingly within the 6 years, him having the shtar mechira, that itself is one mecha. That'd be one mecha in a span of 6 years. Very good. But the question is the next part of the question. V'kasha ha'kaimelan desarach hamarikama l'macha himself called gimel v'gimel. He needs to be mocha after every 3 years. So here we're only having one in a 6 year span, but you're supposed to be doing it every 3 years. So what's going on over here? So what are the three ways to understand? So next part of the question, Gimel Drachim, Shevi Rishonim L'Yashav Koshazu. So how would he solve up this question? So Tosfos gives a very technical answer. He says that you must have to say over here that Rava says one, if you read it, look in the Lashon of the Gemara, Rava says something, and then the Gemara continues to spell out this idea of Shesein L'Cha G'dolah Mizu. So you don't have to say that Rava is saying that second part of the Gemara. Maybe Rava, all he said was that this idea of when we say Sheni Chazaka, it means that you could say Shani Tuva. That when you say that I had a Chazaka for 3 years, that really is Lav Dafka, it means more than 3 years. But who said that Rava says the next part of Shis in Lecha Mechal Gedolah Mizu? Maybe that's just the Gemara talking. But therefore, when Rava in Lama Tet Amabe says that you need to have Mecha every 3 years, that's not contradicting with our Gemara over here, because Rava only said the idea of Sheni Chazaka is really means Shani Tuva. But he never said the idea about having one Mecha in a span of 6 years. So therefore, that's a technical answer of how to solve up this problem. So the next part is the... It's a little confusing because the Marsh. So if you look in Shir, my notes from Shir, Rebbe said that the Marsh, the second answer that we gave in Shir was really the Yesh Mefarshim of the Rashbam as quoted by the Marsha. So, and I think most people's notes, maybe you had like the second answer is the Marsha and the Baal Meor, but he's quoting the Yesh Mefarshim of the Rashbam. So that's why I think if you look at the sheet on the bottom, Rebbe was asking for the Rashbam, and I think that's what he was going for. If not, I can clarify later, and we can figure it out also. But what did the Rashbam say? The Rashbam said if you aren't mocha a second time, you're not gonna. If the ma'ar isn't mocha a second time, the ma'asik could claim that after your first mecha, you sold it to me. I mean, after that first mecha, then you went ahead and sold it to me, and therefore therefore needs to make a second mecha. And that was according to the Rashbam. So the Marsha and the Baal Meor wanted to say that if you learn like the Sage Mefarshim, then there isn't really an issue of a steer between the two sugyas, and everything works out very well. So how does that make sense? How are these two sugyas working in tandem if we go according to the Rashbam's Sage Mefarshim? So we said that you have to mocha every 3 years, like on Lametet and Mabiz, but only when it's shayach to avoid a Torah's Gezela. Because you know, if we're nervous that this guy, if you don't make a second claim, this guy is going to have a valid taina that you know, after the first mecha you sold it to me, and therefore he would, that implying what? He was living big zela for those first 3 years on the field. So therefore, we said that they need to have a mecha after every 3 years to avoid a Torah's gzela. But that idea of Torah's gzela doesn't necessarily apply to our sugya. On Lamed Aleph. So why is there no Torah's gezela? Why is there's no concern of that in our sugya? Because in our sugya Lamed Aleph, the Marikama sold it to the Ma'arer, who claims that he has had it for the last 4 years, and he has a star mechira to show that he was there for the last 4 years. Therefore, how can the Masik make the claim of Macharti? How can he make the claim after the first mecha if this guy has a valid star, you know, star mechira that it belongs to him? Therefore, one mecha through the mechira, I mean the fact that he has a star mechira, that's going to be good enough. And there's no concern of gzela over here because he has a shtar mechira in his hand. By the case of Lamed Tadam Abayz, there was no mention of a shtar mechira, and therefore, without that, you're to avoid Torah's gzela, you need to be mocha after every 3 years. But Lamed Tadam Abayz, there's no concern of that. And the final answer, so the Rush really gave two different answers. There's a little confusion. Rebbe usually I assume wants the easier answer, so I'm going to give the easier answer of the Rush, and maybe I could clarify also if that's what Rebbe wanted. But the easier shot of the Rush, that is a difference between a Maisa and a Dibur. If he does a Maisa, then the Masik is going to hold on to the Shtar from the Mecha. And what's happening over here? On Lamed Aleph, there was a Maisa Mechira, and he has a star to show that Maisa. Therefore, over there, we're not going to need he's not going to need to be Mocha again because he did a Maisa. However, in Amira, it will be different. And that's why in Lama's head, if the Amira, the guy's going to be less, he's going to be more lax with the star, he's not going to be washing it as much. Therefore, Lama's head, you need to do a mecha to make sure the masik is holding on to the star after every 3 years. But if there's a maisa, like a maisa mechiro in Lama's Aleph and Aleph, then you wouldn't need to mocha after every 3 years. So next question, number 8. Ber machlos rabba v'abaye, yam rinan migo b'makom edim b'gamara Lama's Aleph, Lama's Aleph or not. So what was their machlokas over there? So Rabba says that you can make the the case was as follows, right? Just to explain the Gemara outside before we jump into what they say. So the Gemara was that one guy says shalavosai, the other guy says shalavosai. One brings edim that it was belonged to. One guy brings edim that I had it for sheni chazaka, that I had it for 3 years, and I had it for at a chazaka, and I have edim that were there that I had it for 3 years. And the other guy brings edim that it belonged to my father. So the question was, who do we go like over here? So Rabbi wanted to say that we go like the guy who has the sheni chazaka. Why? Because Rabbi says you can make a migo that shalavosai that belonged to my father. The migo de minach zavinte, right? V'yeshlo ede chazaka. So it's like he has the migo plus he has the ede chazaka. Abaye says over here that's not going to work out. That migo is not a valid migo. Why? Because the edim of the second guy said that the second guy had said what? That I have edim shalavosai. So the first claim of the migo that Rabbi wants to make of shalavosai and migo de minach, you can't even jump off from that starting point, because your claim of shalavosai gets knocked out right away because this guy's bringing edim that it was his father's. So that's why Abaye says migo makam edim. So Rebbe asked to explain the machlokas. So even though it's going out of the order of the makoros listed on the bottom, I think this is what this is. The Rebbe wanted the Ramban over here because the Ramban really explains what Abaye and Rebbe were really arguing about. So the Ramban had said that if one guy says it was my father's and the other guy says it was also my father's with a tainus bari. Usually in a situation of a yoresh, a classic yoresh situation, even for a taina shema, we're going to be towing on behalf of the yoresh. However, since this guy said a taina's bari over here, by saying that you know that that it was belonged to my father, and I have and he brings Adam for that. We're not going to help out a guy when he has a tainas bari. We aren't going to be towing on his behalf. But the Ramban says, but we can still be metakin and mefarish his words that he meant his father brought from this other guy's father. So the Ramban wanted to say that maybe the machlokes between Rabba and Abaye is whether you're allowed to be metakin and mefarish this guy's words. So Abaye says that we can't be towing and metakin his words on his behalf. Whatever he says, if he gave it a tennis bari, then that's it, and he's locked in place whatever he said. Well, as Rabba says, that maybe we can. Maybe we're allowed to change his words a little bit. We can help him out. And therefore, this guy's saying Shalavosai, and the other guy's saying Shalavosai, maybe we can help the guy who says Shalavosai to mean that really got it from the other guy's father, and we can be mefarish and mitaki in his words. Whereas Abaye says, no, whatever he says, that's over. We're locked in place. Maybe that's the machlokas Rabba and Abaye. But that was all the first part of the question 8. So next part of the question, Lama Tzrachu Va'Gemara Levi Oso Sugya Lekaman Lama Gilam Lama Beis Lefi Rashbam. So the question was that we discussed in Shir is that there's a very similar like Sugya Lama Gilam Lama Beis that has like almost the same exact wording. It's very similar. Changes a couple names here and there, but it's very similar. So what was the point of bringing this very similar sugya over here? So we mentioned that the Rashbam was quoted on Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph and Lamed Gil Amud Beis, and we said that based on how the Rashbam explains the case, it understands why we need to bring it again. So the Rashbam says that on Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, that one says that it belongs to his father's and was his father's till the day his father died, right? Therefore, this means that the migo it's a migo mamish. And this is an amigo, and it's going to be machish the other guy's edim, right? That his claim is so strong, is so powerful, it's going to be machish the other guy's edim. Whereas the Rashbam and Lamed Aleph said that it belonged to one father, not that it never could have belonged to the other guy. Meaning this guy's making a claim, it's a taina, it's like bari almost, that he's saying that it belonged to my father, and it couldn't have belonged to your father, because my father had it the day till he died, so he never would have given it to your father. Whereas the Rashbam and Lamed Aleph never really mentions that taina. It's more of an open-ended taina. So therefore, we wanted to say that's why we bring in another case over here to give another, the cases are totally different. The sugya on Lamed Aleph on Aleph, which one said Shalavosai, and it was open ended. But the second Gemara Lamed Gimel was adding this new idea when there's a direct hachasha with the Eidim. And therefore, these cases are totally different, and they're bringing totally different ideas. So the next part of the question was. So we mentioned that based on the Gemara, Lama Gimel Lama Beis, we had an idea of Rav Chista who says that we say Migo B'Makom Edim, that the Migo B'Makom Edim actually works. So how does that make sense? I mean, it seems like that would not make a lot of sense. So we explained with the Ravan, and then the Rebbe asked for three different answers. The Tumim and Rav Chaim Telzer kind of get to the same point by going at a different angle, so we'll get to that in a second, but we'll do the Ravan first. So he says that, so the question was, Ravan asks, how can he go against Migo Malcolm Adim? It seems like a very liked, locked tight idea. How can Rav Chisda go against that? So he said that maybe over here, there are two Adim against two Adim, right? There's one Kot against the other Kot, which creates a suffix. We don't really know which should we go like. We have Adim saying this and Adim saying that. So over here, the Masik is going to have an upper hand with the Sheni Chazaka. So why does he have an upper hand? Why according to Rabba, is he going to win out? So that Migo, we said Migo isn't Edim, but it might be as good as Edim. I mean, it's not going to say it's better than Edim, but it might be just as good. Because Migo really is a Svara de Araisa. Therefore, this creates the suffix which allows the Edim to win the day. Meaning, when this guy has a migo b'makom, when this guy has a strong migo, that migo creates a svara de araisa, and therefore that allows us to leave the ara by the masik who's machzak. And Rav Chisda would seemingly ascribe to this idea that over here the migo that even though this might be a situation of migo b'makom edim, but the migo is really like a svara de araisa over here, and therefore the masik would win out. But the second idea. Was that really what Rav Chisda could be saying is that the Migo isn't necessarily going to the Migo is functioning over here as just weakening the koach of the Edim, right? Because you have you have two kinds of edim saying different things. And now this guy's making amigo of Shalavosai, amigo de Minach Savente. So what's that amigo doing over here? You have two kinds of edim saying you know, one saying Sheni Chazaka, one guy saying Shalavosai. So the functioning of the amigo is that it's just weakening the other guy's claim. When that guy says Shalavosai, it's coming to weaken his claim. So for this we brought the Tumim and Rav Chaim Telzer. The Tumim says that we are tola that maybe the Edim made a mistake and there is a Reyesa in the Edim. So this Migo is seemingly creating a Reyesa in the Edim. Whereas Rav Chaim Telzer says that that we have this idea that the Nemanus of two Edim is like is a Gzeir Sakasa. We have this idea of Al Shnei Edim Yakum Davar, that with two Edim we can establish something, right? But sometimes the Beis Din might feel off about the Edim. I'm not sure, like are these Edim being trustworthy or not? And therefore, they could throw up the case if it looks like there's Harama and Shakranas. If it looks like there's like some kind of trickery at play, it looks like the Edim are in cahoot or they're doing something that looks fishy. They can just say, you know what, we're going to throw out this whole entire case. So maybe similar to Tumim, we're saying over here that maybe the Migo creates a situation of trickery and based on the fact that it looks like one side is because this guy has a migo, it's almost like creating similar ideas. Almost like creating a reyesa, and therefore Beis Din can throw out the other guy's pshat. Can throw out the other edim, and therefore migo is really just creating similar ideas. It's kind of just like creating a reyesa, based on this idea of harama and shakranas. So question number 9. So this was just the Gemara and Be'er Geder HaMachlokas. That's going to be the Ketzos and the Me'iri. But the Gemara was as follows, right? That the one guy says Shalavosai, so they brought it from the other guy's father, right? So he reinterprets what he had said. However, he feels secure as if it belonged, and we said that he said he feels secure with the property as if it belonged to his father. So the question is, can we do this? Are we allowed to be chozer v'toin? So Ula says, yes, you're allowed to be chozer v'toin. And Yardai says, no, you're not allowed to be chozer v'toin. You're not allowed to do that. So we possibly you're allowed to be chozer v'toin. So the Gemara continues and says that maybe there are certain situations where Ula would agree with Yardai, and Yardai would agree with Ula. So that Ula would agree in two different cases. One who agree would not work if it's contradictory, right? If when you're being chozer, you're contradicting what you had said previously, then you cannot be chozer v'toin. Or if he leaves Beis Din and after his first claim, then he wants to make a second claim afterwards. But once you leave Beis Din, you know the window has closed, and therefore you can't be chozer v'toin after that. So therefore, he would agree with Nahardai that he can't be chozer v'toin in that situation. Nahardai would say would agree in two different cases that if his father bought it from his father, in that situation, they would say that's a valid, that you're allowed to be chozer v'toin and say that my father bought it from your father. Because in that situation, you're not necessarily you're more like, I guess, being mefarish, maybe a little more metakein. Also, they would say that, or the case where he didn't say anything in Beis Din at first, therefore when he comes back, he isn't changing anything he had said previously if he didn't say anything in Beis Din in the first place. That was just like the Gemara. So now the second part is okay. So what's the Gedar Machlokas? So for this he brought the Ketzos and the Me'iri. So at first he says that it should be a Kava, that there's really a Kava Chomer at play over here. We have this idea of an Amakla which we said works by Ish at Ish, then it should also work by Mammon. And therefore, if an amakla is going to work by mammon, therefore any case where you can explain away what you said, can explain away what you mean. This idea of amakla is that you can that you're allowed to be chozer on something you had said if you can explain away why you had said that in the first place, right? That's an amtala, right? Amakla. That if you can explain why you had said what you said was incorrect and why you said it there and what the context of that was, then you're allowed to. Then you're allowed to go back on your first claim. Therefore, any case where you can explain away what you had said, you could chozer v'toin would work. And therefore, any case where an amatla would work, which according to Ketzos would apply to mammon, if you can explain away, then we'd understand. If you can explain away your first taina with an amtala, then we can understand why chozer v'toin would work. The Me'iri says that if the taina is similar to what was said before. then it won't work because it looks like you're changing to lie, right? Meaning that if I had said something and then I kind of like shift it or change it, then it looks like what I'm trying to do over here is that I'm trying to lie. However, if I bring something that's totally new, that I hadn't said anything, it's like a chiddush. Like I had said something in Beis Din, and I come and say something totally different. I bring a totally different raya, totally different claim that was disconnected from anything I said previously, and then that's going to work. We say eino chozer v'toin when it's a chasha gemura. Then the taina will look like a lie, which is why it can't be chozer bo. However, if it's something that's new, something totally new that hadn't been said before, we're going to believe it, because it doesn't look like it's connected to anything you had said previously. Okay, question number 10. Matai sover hari magash af ula modesh yachol lachzor l'toin af yel hachesh devarav harishonim legamri. So this was the famous shita of the Rimagash, that if Edim come later, then comes after his second taina, we're going to believe his second taina. When he is chozer mi p'tor l'p'tor, when he's going from a p'tor l'p'tor, this works if Edim didn't come in the middle. And if Edim come later, if it's a situation of a p'tor l'p'tor, then we say his first taina is... if they come later and say his first taina is not a taina's p'tor, but as long as his chozer p'tor l'p'tor before the Edim come, then it's going to work. So what's an example of this? We said if he says it's my father's and not your father's, but comes back and says later my father bought it from your father's, right? That's a p'tor l'p'tor, which will be believed. Similarly, we said another case of if he says lo lavasi that I didn't get a loan from you, and then he says later lo parati, actually I didn't pay it. He's going to be believed as well in that situation. So the question was over here. So how does this work? How can you be? What's that play over here? According to the Rimagash, how is this concept of a mitzvah working? It's really functioning according to the Rimagash as it's really functioning as amigo. So they say that amigo, he did not have to, amigo. They didn't have to change his words and go back on it. Therefore, from the fact on what he's saying now, right? We're saying he should be Naaman. Amigo, that he didn't have to change any of his words, and he decided to change his words. Therefore, we're gonna believe him. So the question was, so the Ritva doesn't like full on reject everything he says. He says that, but just the one case that we brought, he's not the biggest fan of. So for the when I was listing two examples of what Mutor Lepator is, one example I gave was the father, which says that it is my father, that are not your father's. Then he says that actually my father got it from your father. That was the first case. The second case was the lo lavasi and lo parati. So Ritva and Shavuos quotes the Rav and says that case of Mutor Lepator is not really a Mutor Lepator, because that's really going from a chayav to a Pator. That's really a chayav to a Pator. In that situation, you say that he wouldn't be Naaman in this situation because that's a chayav to a Pator. Okay, so the next part was the Ramah and the Beis Yosef. So I think Rabbi only asks for the Yad Ramah, but I'm gonna what's it called? But we're gonna quote the Beis Yosef because that helps explain the Ramah. So the Ramah had said that your Naaman lachzor bo rak kodesh shebo edim vechish tanis harishona, right? That your Naaman to be chozer bo. As long as the second Edim hadn't come yet. Because the Beis Yosef said that once the Edim come, we say to ourselves, maybe the Baal Davar knew they were coming all along, which is why he wanted to bring a second Taina. I mean, maybe we shouldn't believe a Mepetor L'Tor situation, according to the Beis Yosef, because the reason this guy slugged in his second Taina is because he knew, like, he saw like some two Edim or what were about to walk into base, and he's like, you know what, like they're really going to mess me over. I'll throw in a second Taina quickly to cover all my bases. So therefore, maybe we shouldn't believe a Mepetor L'Tor because he was only making the second Taina because he knew that the Edim were going to come. But what are two ways to maybe explain up the Rimagash? So for that, we brought the Ketzos and Rav Elchanan Wasserman. So what does the Ketzos say? It says that the Rimagash... We said that the Rimagash was working within Migo. But the Ketzos said that maybe the Rimagash... We said that a Migo that I didn't have to say anything, right? That was the Migo that the Rimagash was working with. But the Ketzos says that maybe... Which we saw actually earlier, I think Morty probably went over this in the last Chazar Chabura, but what he's saying is that believe me with my second Taina. But a second Taina is Neman Machmas Atzmo. Meaning that the second Taina is no worse. So a lot of times we said that the Ketzos will say the words Migo, But really, migo is like, you know, is lav dafka. And what he's saying over here is that over here that you know that we're being chosen of Torah Torah worked with in migo. But really, each statement is neman machmas matzbo, and they weren't necessarily connected to each other. But the Rav Chanan Wasserman is like that's not how migo works. You know, migo means that I'm saying one thing based on you know a taina that I said. Like the two tainas are inherently connected. So what's working? So what does Rav Chanan Wasserman say? How does the Rimigash make sense over here? So he brought a distinction between a pesha aser and a classic case of migo. So migo doesn't work by davar shib erva, and why does migo not work by davar shib erva? Say and davar shib erva pachach mishnayim. But migo works as a birer and not as a kiyum, right? Which the way we mentioned earlier. But pesha aser works not as a din birer, but with that a pesha aser creates this idea of bilus, and it can work to be mekayim by a davar shib erva. Therefore, by mamon, we are being mavar what's happening over here. Therefore, we said that the way migo works by mamon is that when you're saying this migo on the mamon right now, it should apply le'olam vad. It should apply across the board. Whereas the bilos of the pesha aser, maybe that can be challenged. But when you're saying this migo right now, it should apply now and forever. Therefore, with that idea of Rav Chanan Wasserman, we can understand what Rimagash is saying over here. He's saying that according to Rimagash, because it's working with Shas Tanaso, this migo is even going to hold out, you know, against the edim over here. When you're being choser mitor leptor based on a migo, right? But this migo, it's a lot more. It's more powerful because it's. This migo, I guess, is a lot more powerful because it's going to be believed now and forever. Okay, so then now let's move on to the last question. I know it's already a little late. So question number 11. Rav Huna sover bebet kitos eidim achishim zutzu shebo ben aso deb meida v'chulei. So each eidim is coming. If they come one after the other, if they come, we believe each one independent of each other because, you know, they're not coming at the same time. So beir arashbam dehainu shum demokrian lehu achesas kashras. So for this, the Rashbam quoted the Gemara Masechet, which I mentioned by Shnei Shvilim, that if you know that there's something that's tummy on one of the paths, but if each one person goes down a path, even if, as long as they don't go at the same time, we see that each path was independently had achesas kashras, and therefore that's working over here. The Rashbam says that Rav Huna holds that each group comes separately and testifies. You're welcome to testify for a different edus. Why are they allowed to testify for a different edus? We say that these guys over here are totally pasuledim if there was a conflict over here. But the Rashi said they have a cheses kashrus. Someone must be puzzled, but we don't know which one. So yet we still say that they can each testify both edus, even though there's a stira. And that was why I brought the case of Sheish Field to show how even if there's a stira, we still say that they have a cheses kashrus. So Ketzad hivin harashbam the inyan chasas kashras ha'imhu k'mo rov v'chazaka d'meikara and explain. So this is kind of like a lot of back and forth. So I'm just going to go through the back and forth, and then I'll bring the proof of the Rambam at the end. So the question was that how can Rav Huna is saying that we should be motzi mamon based on a chazaka of the chasas kashras of these edim. But maybe we said but how can you do that? How can it be motzi mamon based on a chazaka? We know that you can't be motzi mamon based on a chazaka. So what's working at work? What's working at play over here? We want to say okay, maybe it's working within rov. If it's working within rov, that rov people aren't gazlanim, and therefore he should be believed based on the rov. However, we said that we don't follow rov by mamon. We quoted a gemara that Shmuel says that we don't follow rov by mamon. So how over here can we be following rov? How can we motzi the mamon based on a cheses kashrus? So we quoted Tosfos in Sanhedrin that said that maybe by a strong rove, a rove de alim, right, that we follow it. That some roves are strong enough that they can take the place, they can even take the place of Edim. Therefore, we can be motzi mamon based on a rove. But we said, okay, that's great, but there is this is a tarti de satre. How can you say that both Edim are going to be kosher based on a rove? only one of them can be kosher. If it's only chazaka, then you can say each side is kosher. But by rov, that's going to be a tarti to saturate. So where it's working out clay over here. So Rav Elchanan wants to give a different answer. What's happening over here is that according to the Rashbam, well, when we say chazaka is kosher, I mean that really we're being machshir the edim. Well, we aren't being motzi mamon, but we're not being motzi mamon based on the chazaka. Meaning it's more like an indirect kind of thing. That through the chazaka de meikara, that these edim are kosher, the chazaka kashras, we're saying master the edim. And then based on that, we're being motzi mamon, but the chazaka itself isn't being motzi mamon. And then for this, we brought a proof from the Rambam, right? The Rambam says that in Hilchos Sanhedrin, Tezayin Halacha Vav, that the edim need to, if we are to give lashes, it needs to be done b'shas maisa. That the edim need to be there b'shas maisa. However, an Eid Echad can testify on the status of the Isser. Meaning an Eid Echad can establish the Isser, but you can only give lashes if you have two Eidim to be machlik the status of the Isser to give the lashes. But it needs to be b'shas ta'anaso. So we said, so too over here. Maybe just to establish the kashrus of the Eidus, that can be through chazaka, through chazaka. But we're only going to be motzi the mamon based on having two edim, once you know that they're kosher, meaning that you can establish the status of something, whether it be like, as the Rambam says, you can establish the status of Isser based on one edachad, or by us, we can use chazaka just to establish the status of the edim. But then to go ahead and to give the lashes, you're going to need to have two edim, or to go ahead and be motzi mamon, then you're going to need to have two edim. We thought that maybe the Rambam could be a raya over here. And tomorrow morning, we'll take us forward. Shkarach.